We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the download on 106.7 The Fan and 106.7TheFanDC.com.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lindbach with you here on Saturday morning, May 19th, 2018, in our nation's capital. Glad to be back with you for another program. You can reach me on Twitter, I'd like to add. On Twitter, I just cannot tell you where to reach me on Twitter. Company policy. But a couple of housekeeping notes off the top of the show. First of all, huge news this week. The first annual Chad Dukes Disc Golf Classic is officially set for Saturday, June 2nd at 1 p.m. Details can be found at cdvtw.com. And I hosted a special show with my guy Tom Daly this past week. It was on Wednesday. It actually aired on 106.7 The Fan during primetime hours. See, what had happened is everything else had to go wrong for this to happen. The Nationals and the Yankees were supposed to play a game and a half of baseball on Wednesday. Because on Tuesday, the Nats got through 5.5 innings of their game against the Yankees. Remember, it's only a 2-game series, both games at Nats Park. But that first game was suspended after 5.5 innings. So it was going to be resumed on Wednesday at 5.05 p.m. And then the regularly scheduled second game of that series was going to be played at 7.05 p.m. So programming-wise, we had penciled in for about 4.5 hours of baseball coverage. Well, the rain didn't let up. Both games were rescheduled for June. And then our program director, CK, is looking around going, how am I going to fill 4.5 hours of radio last minute? And all of the other hosts had gone. They'd already left for the day. And he's sitting around looking in the office, and it's just me and Tom sitting right there at our desks. And he almost jokingly goes, do you guys want to host a show? And our ears perked up. Yes, we'll do it. Emphatically, 100%. Yes, we'll do it. And so we took a chance and just put us on the air. You can hear that full show. It was about 1.5 hours long. You can find it on iTunes. Tom has it hosted on his Crashing the Net page. Crashing the Net on iTunes. I believe we called the show Crashing the Download. That full broadcast is up there. And later on in today's program, a special tribute, because he really has had just a banner week. Chris Russell is a man with many, many irons in the fire. I was able to lure him away from his writing job at DC Hot Read. And now he writes for us at thefandc.com. You can catch all of his Capitals coverage at thefandc.com. He actually is a pretty respectable writer. This a bit of a backhanded compliment, but I was surprised. A special tribute to Chris Russell to close out the show, because he really has had one hell of a week on his hands. This is code for I'm going to be making fun of him for the last 15 minutes of today's program. So you can look forward to that around 7:45 a.m. But we don't really have a whole lot of time to waste today. The Capitals have fallen. I guess fallen isn't correct. The series is now 2-2. They dropped both games at home, games 3 and 4, after going into Tampa Bay and crushing to open the series. But it really does feel like they're down in the series. And we'll find out later tonight what happens in Game 5 if the Caps can take another one on the road. They really have been road warriors in this series and throughout the entire playoffs. They've won more on the road than they have at home. How strange is that? Maybe it has something to do with all the Mama Lucias being eaten before games at home, but who knows? But it does feel bizarre. It feels like the Caps are down in the series. And I guess that's just because you have to say the momentum has shifted to the other team. That's obvious. If you win the last two games, you have the momentum in the series. It bothers me that after two games, after games one and two, the Caps shock everyone, go up two games to none in the series by taking both games in Tampa, and the next day, every host on this radio station is sitting around talking about making plans for the Stanley Cup. Or should we book hotel rooms tentatively for Vegas? Do we even want to go to Ottawa or wherever the Jets play, Winnipeg? I couldn't believe it. And I was sitting there hearing on almost every show except for Dukes, because he doesn't really, well, let's face it, he doesn't like hockey a whole lot. Just being honest. But the Junkies, I'm listening to EB. And JP talk about booking hotel accommodations in Winnipeg. After two games in the series. Grant Paulson the day before. Just hypothetically having a conversation. If we were to go to one of these cities for the Stanley Cup, we would have to book it now. Well, you know what you don't have to do? You don't have to have that conversation on the air. That's all I'm saying. Sure, jinx them behind the scenes so nobody has to hear it. And then Grant last night gets pissy with me two nights ago, Thursday night, because I had the temerity to tweet him about his stupid fish bit. After the Caps lost, I tweeted him, go fish. Let's catch some fish. Because I don't know what the bit means, to be quite frank with you. I don't get it. I haven't gotten it. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to go on the air and do a bit that nobody gets, and then taunt Capitals fans for the entire way through the playoffs, because they're not as, gee golly, positive as you are, then don't be pissed when it comes back around the other way. That's all I'm saying. I've got nothing against Grant. I don't think he has anything against me. But just, he was so victimized when I just threw his own bit back into his face. So victimized. Like I had assaulted a member of his family. I'm being trolled by a colleague and a friend. Cool, man. That's what he said. By the way, I only tweeted him. You can find it. The tweets are still up. I only tweeted at him. And it was just a friendly little jab. That's all it was. Oh, of course he retweets it to all of his 100,000 followers. And I've got these annoying nerds in my mentions for the next 24 hours. Which I don't really care about that either. It doesn't matter. Twitter's stupid. It doesn't matter. We'll have more on that later. This is all I'm saying before I get too wildly off track. If you're going to take this weird moral high ground where what he's been doing throughout the playoffs is mocking fans for being cautiously optimistic. As they work their way through the Penguins, and fans are cautiously optimistic because they know the history. 40 years of history, by the way. 40 years of playoff failure, by the way. It's probably pretty reasonable to be cautiously optimistic, even negatively optimistic. That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Cautiously negative. Pessimistic. There we go. So just don't be upset when it comes back in your face. You know? That's all I'm saying. All love for Grant Paulson. We got to jump into our top five most read stories.
Number five.
In an absolutely bizarre turn of events,
The country of Qatar. Qatar. I've heard people pronounce it Cutter. I don't know what it is. I pronounce it Qatar, similar to guitar, with a G sound, hard G. Qatar was responsible for keeping the Metro open late after Thursday's Game 4 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, if you'll remember, earlier in the week, it was a company called Exelon. Man, all these possible-to-say words. That's great. Which is the parent company of Pepco, fronted $100,000 to extend Metro service after Game 3 Tuesday night. That's the same company, by the way, that paid to keep the Metro open after Game 5 in 2017 during the NLDS between the Nats and Cubs. Now, later this same day on Tuesday, after it was announced that Exelon is keeping Metro open late with a $100,000 contribution, it was reported that Qatar would be stepping forward with a similar contribution for Game 4. However, and this is where the story starts to get weird, if it wasn't already weird with a foreign country paying to keep our local Metro open, the deal falls through over the next 24 hours. Apparently, there was a contract dispute of sorts, and also some question over whether Metro was even authorized to accept money from a foreign government. By 6 p.m. the night before the game, Metro said no deal. There was no deal in place. Metro would not be staying open late as of that moment. Now, around noon on Thursday, again, this is 8 hours before game four is scheduled to begin. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser announces on Twitter that Qatar and the downtown D.C. Business Improvement District had quote-unquote teamed up to deliver late-night Metro service to Caps fans. Mayor Bowser breaks the news, announces the deal. The deal is back on, but it gets weirder. WMATA, the Washington Metro Area Transit Authority, I think is what it stands for, runs the Metro, whatever. They don't send out a press release or confirm that this deal is in place. Again, the hours are ticking down until the game's going to begin hours later. And they, like 2 hours goes by, they say nothing of this news that the mayor has announced. They finally issue a press release, I'd say around like 3 or 4 p.m. They make no mention of Qatar in announcing the deal. Zero mention of Qatar in the release from WMATA announcing this deal. They only thanked downtown D.C. Business Improvement District for the $100,000 contribution to keep Metro open late after Game 4. What a strange story. All I can think is that this downtown D.C. Business Improvement District takes the money from Qatar, and then the Improvement District then pays Metro. So then Metro is not accepting money directly from a foreign government or a foreign country. But what a strange story. You can read about those twists and turns at thefandc.com. Got to get to a break. When we come back, we got our top four stories of the week. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download on 106.7 The Fan and 106.7thefandc.com.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach with you for another segment on The Fan. Let's jump right back into our top five most read stories from thefandc.com this past week.
Number four.
The Nationals have yet to play a complete game this week. Not since Sunday 6-4 win at Arizona have they played a full entire game to completion, because D.C. has been getting crushed with rain all week. Their Tuesday game against the Yankees made it through 5.5 innings, as we talked about in the first segment of the show, before getting suspended due to rain. It was then scheduled to be resumed before the following day's regularly scheduled second game of the series. Again, two-game series against the Yankees. First game's Tuesday, second game's Wednesday. They only make it through 5.5 innings on Tuesday's game. That gets played, resumed before Wednesday's game. So they're supposed to play a game and a half on Wednesday. Unfortunately, fans who attended the suspended game would have to buy a new ticket if they were to see that game played to completion. A little bit of a rough move, I think, here for the Nats. The Nats announced that the first game would be resumed at 5.05 p.m. on Wednesday, and that only tickets to that day's regularly scheduled game would be honored. Obviously, fans were pissed. It just looks bad. Yeah, they got to see an official game by baseball standards because the game went more than five innings, I believe is what it is. So even though they don't get to see the entire game, they got to see an official game by MLB standards. So the Nats did not have to honor those same tickets for the resumed version of that game. And here's why it didn't end up mattering. Because both of those games ended up getting postponed until June the next day. Because these heavenly rains that we're having have not stopped. The Nats and Yankees will play a game and a half at Nats Park on Monday, June 18th. You can read more about that at thefan@dc.com. Of course, the rain is still not stopped, and Friday night's series opener against the Dodgers has also been postponed. So guess what? That means the Nats and Dodgers are playing a split doubleheader later this afternoon. First game is scheduled for 2:05. You can hear it right here on the flagship station for the Washington Nationals, 106.7 The Fan. 2:05 game on 106.7 The Fan. The second game, listen up, folks, the second game scheduled for 8:05 p.m. can be found on 99.1 because we will be airing Caps Lightning Game 5 at that time. All right, all right.
Number 3.
Three teenaged Capitals fans made what I would like to call a horrendous decision before Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final. These guys, all Caps fans, got Nicholas Backstrom, who's been injured and missed four games and had a hurt hand, to use his hurt hand to sign their broom. Their broom that brought from their parents' place, and then got him to pose for a photo with them as they held this said signed broom. They then, hours before Game 3, mind you, posted the photo to Twitter along with the caption, "He signed our broom because we're getting that 4-0 sweep." Remember, at the time, the Caps were up 2-0 in the series. They are now down 2-2. They did not get that 4-0 sweep. Now, it stands to reason that what these kids did wasn't perhaps well thought out, but that they probably did not deserve death threats for it either, even though that's exactly what they got. Death threats online from grown adults because these kids purportedly jinxed the Washington Capitals, their favorite team. The one kid was very conciliatory, very apologetic, issued a huge apology, ended up burning the entire broom and posting the video online. But maybe death threats is a bit extreme, guys. Maybe just a bit extreme. Alan May was on with Chad Dukes to talk about it this week, and I really thought his answer about this was just spot on the nose the entire way through.
Look, fans are fanatical, Alan, and I get it. They're passionate, blah, blah, blah. They care. You want them buying tickets. You want them showing up. You want them being loud. The blowback I saw because Nicholas Backstrom signed a broom, I'm like, are we children? We think they lost a game because of that. He's signing an autograph for a fan, which, by the way, thanks for doing that. You're a superstar. There's plenty of them out there that don't do that unless there's money handed over. I'm embarrassed for people that react that way because I'm like, you must be paying taxes. Like, you must have kids and be going to work every day. How can you allow yourself to focus on something so benign?
No, I'm with you on that. I've never seen a game loss from an autograph being signed anywhere. I've never seen a game loss. I ripped the towel before game 6 in Pittsburgh, a terrible towel. And people are going, you can't do that the last time. It doesn't matter. That towel doesn't score a goal. I'm not on the ice to affect the game. So those kids having fun with Nick, who probably being from Sweden didn't really get it, what that would mean. So I just think he's a great guy, signed a stick for someone. He wasn't playing, or signed the broomstick. And he is, you know, he's a hero of mine for doing it. And I'm not worried about things like that. You win, and people can be so ridiculous. Social media is one of the worst weapons there are out there right now. People lose their minds. They get carried away, tapping away these messages out there of hate and, you know, what have you. Who cares? The team has to win on the ice. Goaltender has to make stops. Players have to score goals. The game is won and lost on the ice, nowhere else.
Absolutely great response from Alan May. Perfect in my book. It hits every point you need to hit there. You can read more about that at cdvtw.com. Of course, that stands for Chad Dukes versus the World. cdvtw.com.
Number two.
My buddy Matt Valdez, the Junkies producer, has gone unusually gray. Now, I know this is unusual because he's the same age as me. He's 30 years old. We started at the radio station here together. Now, I have far less hair than I did then, but I certainly don't have gray hair. And his hair is like ghost white almost at this point. He took a photo and posted it on Twitter. Absolutely got ridiculed the next morning by the Junks. And much like a Daily Double, this sort of brings us in a surprise fashion into our abridged version of the Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on the download.
It's a Kardashian story, but it's just the headline. Kim Kardashian blames Kanye West's recent behavior for her first gray hair.
Who does Valdez blame for all of his gray hair?
Hey, Valdez.
Could you tell a story?
Valdez came in here during a break, and he showed us this picture. I don't know. It was
yesterday for Mother's Day. We went over my wife's parents' house.
Yeah.
Just ate outside.
They're eating outside in a picnic table.
What was on the menu?
It was like chicken thighs with grilled vegetables.
Something classy.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the Myers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It wasn't crabs.
No crustaceans. I'm right. Not interested.
No seafood.
Right.
So he shows you a picture.
So he says, this was the worst part of my weekend. And he shows a picture, and literally his hair is as white as mine. Yeah. You can't tell because he wears a hat.
He always
today.
Wears a hat.
Yeah. Jason, it looks like your hat. Here, I'll send you the picture.
Have you seen the picture yet, Jason?
I haven't seen
it.
But
you put it on social media. Just post it. Just post it on social media.
I'm going to send it to Jason.
Here's the thing about Matt.
All right.
He's
30 years old.
Yeah.
He's only 30 years old. I went pretty much, I really started to go hard gray like 35. I remember distinctly my father was ill. I felt like that stress of that last year really, my hair just started popping up white all over the place. But you're only 30. You're ahead of me.
But I'll say,
you're ahead of me, dude.
From looking at the picture, and I know he's tilted by it, I had him take his hat off about 10 minutes ago.
You just think it's a bad picture?
The picture does not do him justice because his hair does not look as gray as it does in the picture.
Maybe it was bad light.
I think it was bad light.
Or maybe it was good light. Maybe it's a bad light in here. In good light, he was exposed. Will you please tweet the pic?
Yes, I will tweet the picture.
If you buy it, I've been intrigued many times with the gray-reducing shampoo. It's not like just slapping on some paint.
Right.
It's supposed to do it subtly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a picture of myself over the weekend, and it looked like I had dark hair up top, and it looked like somebody took a paintbrush of white paint to the sides of my
slapped
hair.
I tell you what, I'm vulnerable for hair color. Because usually I would just say, no, I don't need that. That's fine. It's just salt and pepper.
Dude, it's so early. At 30?
Does your
really
brother
early.
Is your brother older than you?
Your brother,
yes, he's
Michael
older.
Myers. Is his real name.
Does Michael Myers have gray hair? Premature gray?
No, it's on the side, kind of like by the sideburns.
Even all after right. killing all those people in Haddonfield, Illinois?
Right. So you know what? You just got to blame your dad.
Yeah.
Well, his dad, if I recall, isn't he follically challenged?
Who, my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's balding.
Yeah.
Okay, but when he was your age.
Your dad, like close to 60?
When he was your age,
know.
He might have been, premature gray.
Yeah. Are you balding too?
No, no.
You don't have the double
drab.
Whammy. You don't have the double whammy. Right.
Although Drab said I look handsome with gray hair.
Oh, you think he looks okay?
No, he looks trifling. But in that photo, he looks pretty good.
I mean,
think it's that pink polo. It just pops. He's got big muscles.
And wearing the Mother's Day pink polo.
Yes. It looks like a nice backyard wherever you are.
All right, please tweet the photos so people can see it.
Well, I mean, his father-in-law gets like five different revenue streams. I mean, it's a show. By the way, why aren't you playing Girls Not Gray by AFI yet? What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm tweeting the picture of me being gray.
Yeah, make sure you do that.
That is a good tune.
Of course, Davey Havoc and company. They're silly.
Popular I literally was going to get a water during the break. He's like, no, we got to do the EP. So well, I said, EP, I got no stories. Water. He gave me five stories, and they were the worst five stories
I think they
ever.
Like the fact that we just Joan on the stories now.
Yeah.
Because well, there wasn't any good stories in the EP.
But you know, it was saved by Valdez's head of gray hair.
Right. Did you tweet
it? Yes, I tweeted the picture. @Matt_Valdez.
And you can see what he looks like. Mm-hmm. I feel for you, brother. But I think you should. You're still young enough that you could go with the hair for men or whatever it is, where it's a
this
slow
is Matt
transition.
Valdez.
That's what you need.
And what about the royal wedding invitees? Yeah, they said they were going to story.
Yeah.
This is Matt Valdez.
Not interesting to me.
They're nubs. They're doing a Friday wedding.
The Chunky's Rewind on the download.
Let's make this program interactive. You can read about that at thesportsjunkies.com, but I'm going to sell you a little harder than that, because really what I did is I took this as an opportunity to monkey wrench me making fun of EB junkies, just needlessly, totally needlessly. So if you go to thesportsjunkies.com and you look for the story about Matt Valdez, really just look for the photo of Matt Valdez and his gray hair. And click on that story. You'll see a bunch of bad photos. Funny, hilarious, terribly, terribly bad photos of Eric Bickle from the Sports Junkies. Again, it's just completely shameless of me to do that. I had no reason to do it. It really had no relevance to the story. I just found it necessary. And that was our second most read story. When we come back, our top story of the week from thefandc.com. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. It's The Download on 106.7 The Fan and 106.7thefandc.com.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on The Fan. If you missed any of the rest of this show, the beginning of this show, the first two segments, you can find out everything you missed at thefandc.com. Go there, click around. We had that great promo that we played for you last week. It's just such a much better, cleaner, faster website. And we have the same old great content. It's just people can actually take the time to notice it now because they're not bothered by haranguing ads all over the place. Let's get to our top story of the week.
And now, the number one most read story of the week on thefandc.com.
Let's go to the phone right now for the author of our top story this week on The Download. The number one coveted spot. All of our authors are scratching and clawing for this position every single week. And this week, our man Rick Snyder got it done. His column, Bruce Allen's Exit from Redskins, Only a Matter of Time. You can read about it right now on thefandc.com. Rick, how you doing this morning?
Man, we could just play that at my funeral one day when you hit that and say, Rick, you made it.
I tell people every week, especially when you get in there in the top five, that you're always hitting me up. You're the only one that wants to know every single week whether or not you made the top five.
That's probably some insecurity issue I'm dealing with.
So tell me about these latest changes to the Redskins front office. And I guess, is it even correct to say it's a front office change?
Well, I guess, because he's president of the team. I mean, front office is more than just personnel people running around. But,
right.
You know, when there's smoke, there's fire. If we keep looking back and think, well, I know Dan Snyder was really upset with him at the end of last season and was thinking of changes. You know, then we had things like, oh, the Raiders, you might go to the Raiders. Listen, that kind of, I've done this for a living for 40 years. That kind of story is a trial balloon, trying to see what happens. You know, when there was a story about him going to the Raiders. That's trauma. Who dropped it? I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure Dan Snyder saw that and said, hey, Bruce, I got a stadium to finish. You're not going anywhere. So, that you know, then everybody will deny any of it's happening. But I know how these things work, and that was a real thing. You know, and now he's going out and got himself, you know, a new favorite toy, you know, a guy that can run things, who can do the stadium issue.
And this is Brian LaFemina, who was just hired. Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy's got impressive credentials. So, you know, and they've changed some of the football personnel. so Bruce doesn't have as much sway over there. So really, they're kind of phasing out for him. And, you know, Bruce last year bought a, like, $7 million beach home in California. He's not turning that into an Airbnb. I mean, you know, he's plans on being there, I'm sure. So the Raiders thing would make the most sense because, you know, they've got a new stadium and he could come help, you know, do advising on that. Or maybe not. Maybe Bruce is getting older, too. Maybe he just wants to retire. I have a feeling some of this is Bruce and some of this is Dan, and things are moving their way toward a separation now. Is it tomorrow? Is it December 31st? I don't know. That's where you guys say.
Well, when you mentioned the trial balloon, that's interesting to me because when the story first comes out about a month ago now, maybe a little less, reports that, you know, the Raiders are interested in Bruce Allen, or, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Allen ends up back with the Raiders under John Gruden. Him and John Gruden would be reunited with the Raiders once again for the first time in, like, you know, 15 years. My first instinct was, well, did Bruce plant this himself? And a lot of times when I'm trying to figure out, okay, who's the most likely culprit for a random report, and it's impossible sometimes out of Redskins Park with stories, you know, they have all kinds of people over there working, names publicly known that we or not publicly known. It's really difficult. But I always try to think of who stands to gain the most from something like this. And in that scenario, it really seemed like Bruce Allen would have benefited the most from a report that he could be reuniting with the Raiders front office.
Yeah, that would be a natural. But I'll play the skeptic. Let's just say it wasn't Bruce. But it could have been. But it would say it wasn't. Could have been somebody at the Raiders hoping to get him and see what would happen here to jar him loose. I mean, technically, he's under contract. He would have to be traded to the Raiders.
Right.
For what I don't know, and it's not polite to talk that way on the radio with all my Twitter followers would tell me. You know, Twitter followers would sell him for a bag of walls.
So I mean, you think it was probably the Raiders?
It could have been. I'm just saying that's a possible one there. You know, covering the NFL, you can't believe a word you hear from people, you know, all the time. I've spent a lot of years deep into it, and there's so many people, they don't think lying is a sin in the
right.
NFL.
Yeah.
So very much it could happen. It could take a year, and then, you know, Bruce will say, oh, I told you so, whatever. You know, I don't believe anything. Bruce is, you know, past history of deceit is something I think he takes pride in. So, you know, I'm not expect him to be around for too much longer, but it could be the rest of the year. Who knows?
Well, let's backtrack a little further then to Chris Russell's report about 2 months ago. He had the story. Nobody else locally seemed to corroborate it at the time, which that always strikes me as odd when that happens. And, you know, Chris Russell has a pretty solid track record when he decides to go with a story. He doesn't often make that decision, but he comes out with that report a little while back that Dan Snyder is quote-unquote furious with Bruce Allen and that he basically has one more public screw-up and then he's out the door. Knowing what we know now, that Brian LaFemina has been hired in the business department as the new chief operating officer, essentially usurping Bruce Allen's power, what do we think now about that Chris Russell report way back when about Dan Snyder reportedly being furious with Bruce Allen?
Well, Chris finally listened to me when I told him years ago to quit believing what people told him. It was, you know, he finally wised up that everyone was lying all the time. So now he's become pretty good at siphoning these things out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would, you know, give Russell credit. He got part of that, you know, ahead of the curve. So, you know, he still has people inside the building that know him. And, you know, everybody you do, when they tell you these things, you really have to look at it for what's your benefit to this.
Right.
I once had four sources telling me Norv would get fired at night, and it was all true. And none of them were Norv. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. Dan Snyder used to chase around trying to figure out my sources all the time. And I would rotate them so he couldn't figure it out.
Right, that's funny.
And he never did.
So you were a pain in his side from the time that he got there, because Norv Turner, 1999, that was Dan Snyder's first year of ownership.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah, Dan Snyder is not exactly my best friend, but you know, I don't really spend my time worrying about it, and neither does he. But yeah, Dan used to really hate when leaks would happen, but it happened all the time because people have agendas there, and it's not the happiest place in the world to work. You know, I tell this new guy, Brian, good luck with it, buddy. I'll see you in 2 years. I'll be part of your debriefing team in a couple of years. Because they all go. I mean, look at Dan Snyder has rotated many people through his front office as well as his personnel. I mean, you know, football has actually become the calmer end of things. But, you know, he's run through a lot of his front office staff over the years. But it's also been 19 years, so that's to be expected in some respects.
Well, Bruce Allen, I guess in the context of Dan Snyder's time as owner here, he's a long-term survivor, having been around here since, I guess, 2009. And we're sitting here in 2018, 9 years later, and he's still there. I mean, that's almost a miracle in itself.
Yeah, I mean, I pointed out in the story, Bruce has done some really good things, which are all winning off the field. And I know everybody hates to talk about that.
Right.
And honestly, when Bruce said that I was there, I thought people kind of twisted that a little bit of what he was saying.
Sure.
But he was saying, financially, we've really, you know, stopped spending stupid money on free agents. You know, they've gotten the alumni back into the organization, which they hadn't for so long, the great players, things like that. I mean, yeah, we laugh at the homecoming game and which color pants you're wearing, whatever. But, you know, Bruce did a lot of good things on that level, and he's worked a lot on the stadium deal. It's just there's other things with the players that we would, like, shake our heads at. So,
well, the biggest thing, the biggest thing too, and I know Duke's that harps on this all the time, is just the $3.25 billion worth of the franchise, which you noted in your story, which people can read at thefandc.com. That's astronomical. I mean, if that's four times what Snyder purchased the team for, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't tie all that to Bruce, but he definitely has lent some financial stability to the organization and quit having Dan. And the previous GM was Vinny Serrato, and Dan would say, I got a crazy idea, let's do this. And Vinny would go, okay, you know, this guy, at least Bruce said, no, wait a minute, let's not do that too quickly. And that was the best part of what Bruce did, was put the brakes on crazy ideas. But, you know, Vinny Serrato was Dan Snyder's just best buddy, twin brother kind of thing. And he let him go. So don't think that Dan can't do it. But, you know, a lot of the reasons the teams are so much more valuable is because of TV contracts and all those kind of things that are beyond anything Bruce Allen touches.
When we stack all these different reports coming out over the last 2 months or so up against each other, you know, you have the Raiders report, you had Chris Russell's thing, and now we have this huge hiring of essentially what could amount to Bruce Allen's replacement on some level, at least in terms of power and leverage in that building. It seems like there is this undercurrent of moving in the direction of Bruce no longer being with the team. And I think that kind of speaks to the tone of your piece on thefandc.com, that it feels like it's down to a matter of time at this point.
Right. Now, the question is, how long does that clock tick? I don't know. It could be, you know, a few weeks. It could be a few months or the rest of the season. I can't see him here a year from now, but I don't know. It's going to come some Friday at 5 o'clock. We'll hear about it.
Right. Well, Rick, I really appreciate you joining us this morning, joining me. I'm a stupid person. I apologize. And congrats again on landing the top spot. I strongly suggest Redskins fans go out and read this story. Bruce Allen's exit from Redskins, only a matter of time. It's exclusively on thefandc.com. For all the Redskins fans that have wanted Bruce gone, this certainly lends credence to the idea that it could those wheels could be in motion.
All right, so we should do this every Saturday. Just change the figures and make me number one. That's all you have to do.
I can't do that. All right,
it's not
Rick.
Like any of us see the figures. You're the only one. You're the only guy that does it.
That's true, so, but there's a trust factor there. People have to know that they can discernibly trust me.
I got $20 that you can trust a little more.
People can follow Rick on Twitter @Snide_remarks. Rick, enjoy your Saturday.
I got it.
When we come back, a tribute to Joe the Rooster Russo, Chris Russell, which is, yeah, just to peel back the curtain, I'm just going to make fun of Chris Russell for a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
106.7. The Fan. It's The Download on 106.7 The Fan and 106.7thefandc.com.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you for one final segment. of hilarity and jocularity. Thanks to all you downloaders out there tuning into the show. For anything that you've heard on today's program, if you want to read more about it, if there was in the interview, you only caught the tail end of it, you want to hear the full thing, just go to thefandc.com. It's all there. All of the extensions that you need to find what you want is right there. All right, let's make fun of Chris Russell because I love my guy, Russell. He's just had, a banner week. He's been writing Caps coverage for us for the duration of the playoffs. And I said this earlier in the show, I really was delightfully surprised at how good of a writer he was. I hadn't spent a great deal reading over his stuff at previous outlets, but he always struck me as wordy. He kind of writes like he talks a little bit. So we've hammered him into sort of dwindling that down, just getting the meaty substance in there, what really matters the most, and he's done a great job with it. You can read plenty of his stuff at thefandc.com. Click the Capitals tab. It's all right there. Hours before Game 4, this is where we start. Hours before Game 4, Chris Russell reports from Kettler that Nicklas Backstrom, keep in mind, we didn't know whether or not he would be ready to go for Game 4. He'd missed the past four games with a hand injury. Russell reports from Kettler that Backstrom has been, quote, medically cleared, unquote, to play. I mean, that's huge news. So I, of course, then relay that information from all of the fans' social media accounts because it's a big deal. And, of course, minutes later, Russell follows up, quote, hasn't been fully medically cleared. Sorry, heard that wrong. I heard it wrong. I mean, maybe somebody might just say, wait until you hear it right. Wait until you go back and rehear it on your audio tape. And then tweet the news. I heard that wrong. Russell is, we were talking about this behind the scenes here. He is so unabashedly himself. He cannot, to save his life, get out of his own way. And it's what makes him the most unique guy at this radio station. And that is really quite saying something. He is also wildly, wildly unfocused. 18 minutes before Game 4, this is what Russell's tweeting. Tell me if you think his head's in the right place. See, a Redskins fan, had tweeted at Russell, again, 18 minutes before Game 4. He's at Capital One Arena. He's in charge of tweeting from the fan, all updates from the game, and writing about the game. This is what Russell's retweeting. He's responding to this guy, Chris Gregory, on Twitter, who writes, Russell is a committed Redskins hater and fifth-rate journalist. When he claims to know the inside story at Ashburn, one can only believe he is a pathological liar. Again, let me reiterate, 18 minutes before puck drops, Russell responds to this guy, I would say you're a fifth-rate idiot, but this just in, nope, you're a first-class moron, so put that in your pipe and choke on it, pal. What an absolute goose Chris Russell is. I go to Exhibit C. I want to play a clip. This was Chris Russell calling into the Junkies, top-rated program in morning drive radio in Washington, D.C. They deserve your full attention and focus. Here is Chris Russell about a minute or so into his call-in to the Junkies.
Burakovsky was terrible last night. That's the other guy that, along with Eller, is a major goat sorry, my alarm's going off, so I didn't oversleep and forget about you guys. Burakovsky was just dreadful with the puck.
Chris Russell, his alarm goes off, and his first instinct isn't to quietly turn off the alarm and get back to his point. His first instinct is to address it, stop his point, address what's happening in his own world, which has nothing to do with the show that he's calling into, and over-explain what's happening in that world. Let's go to Exhibit D. Here's Chris Russell talking about being distracted. It's not enough to be distracted. Now he's going to talk about being distracted.
Did you see that? And did you see the white streak coming in and intercepting the puck and realize this is trouble immediately as soon as you saw it?
It would happen so quick because, you know, and of course I'm tweeting, you know, the game for the station. And so, you know, you look down and every time you look down, like you miss something, you know, hockey's such a fast sport. And so I saw it just out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, and boom, it's in the back of the net. And that's the problem.
I would just like to point out that this is the guy that we've entrusted to run our social media accounts during the Capitals games. I think we deserve a round of applause for being so brave, to be quite honest with you. But let's acknowledge this. The question is, did you see insert thing? Did you see a goal? And he spends the first 13 seconds of his answer explaining why he did not see the goal, explaining what else was going on in his world, completely irrelevant to the question, completely irrelevant to the Junkies world, the show that he's guesting on. And then, in a long, drawn-out way, explains that, no, he did not see it. What a goofball. We got another clip. This was from Russell's call-in to, again, one hell of a week for Chris Russell, might I say. This was him calling into Grant and Danny from Kettler Iceplex. I think you'll notice something that stands out in particular about this audio clip.
If you keep the Metro open tomorrow for $100,000, because supposedly the deal with Qatar fell through and now no one's sponsoring the Metro staying open as of right now.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I was just told by Jared Ruderman, who produces Chad Dukes versus the World, which you can hear at 2 o'clock. But if you are able to, by the way, can you turn him down? This is the loudest phone call I've ever heard in my life. Good Lord.
If you're calling in from Capitals practice to a radio show to give a live report, obviously it makes sense to go to the loudest possible part in the entire building, which is directly next to the rink. Pucks flying off boards. Let's go to the loudest part so that you can hear the pucks clanking and not actually hear me talk or any of the information that I'm saying. And fortunately, Russell figured this out, and instead of walking out of the building or finding a quiet part in the building, which there are there at Kettler, I've been there quite a few times, right next to the gift shop. That's a pretty quiet place. Russell just stood where he was and remained put the entire length of the interview, and here's proof of that.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time as always, and stay safe from those giant screeching owls descending upon their victims. See you, man.
I'll do my best.
Chris Russell is a man uniquely his own, and God, I love him. I adore him. I love to bash him, and I'm sure it's not fair, but we all get crushed around here behind the scenes. So, man, Russell, you are, it's cliche, but you really are one of a kind. Thanks for everybody who tuned into the show. See you same time next Saturday, 7 a.m. Bye-bye.
DC Sports Station is Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.